Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. All right, let's assemble ourselves and get ready for our continual study of basic series. We only have now one or two lessons left, and let's begin with a word of prayer. And again, by now, I hope you understand that this prayer is not ritualistic prayer. This is a vital prayer. It's a prayer to test yourself to see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. And we move into the close of our study, and we're going to end with something that affects every minute of that you're awake. And this is a vital, vital study and understanding. All that we've studied up to this point, starting with the 10 questions of Job, the two different ways it could be answered, the gospel flow through the Bible, and then we looked at the understanding of spirituality, the spiritual love, loving as Christ loved, and now we've moved into the Holy Spirit, and we're going to end this study with what is called the fruit of the Spirit. And this will impact every moment you're awake. You're in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's accompanied with understanding as well as with the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin this morning with a word of prayer and orient ourselves to the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in every one of these studies, what we're learning is about you. What kind of God, what manner of God you are, and about your love that sees a need and meets that need. Saw the need of our eternal salvation and sent your Son. Saw the need of our temporal sanctification and you sent your Spirit. And now, Heavenly Father, we examine the greatest impacts of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you'd have us to see and understand. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Paul, in teaching on the Holy Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, and Galatians 5 is one of the predominant chapters dealing with the Holy Spirit, he deals with the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit, or the divine nine. Do not memorize the Ten Commandments. Memorize the Divine Nine. Memorize them. Not so that you will be able to do them. You will never be able to do them. You will never be able to produce them. But if you're a knowledge of them, cognizant of them, you will want to learn and desire the Divine Nine to influence your life. So Galatians chapter 5 is our study of the Divine Nine, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in which Paul talks about now, and he goes through the Divine Nine. We will certainly not have time that each one of these should require or would require in a good study, but at least it'll whet your appetite, I hope, for understanding more of these. Now in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, Paul lists the deeds of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Every moment we walk by the flesh, we lose. We lose. All the deeds of the flesh die when our bodies die. In contrast to the deeds of the flesh, Paul lists the fruit of the Holy Spirit, verses 22 and 23. These are things that will come out of the new man who enters the eternal kingdom, inherits rewards for what the Holy Spirit does in giving us a divine nine. Now, what Paul is doing in verses 19 through 23 is setting up a contrast between the old man and the new man, contrast between the desires of the flesh and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's good to see the contrast that is at your option. You get to choose which you want. In Galatians 5 alone, we have many of these contrasts compared in the book. For an example, in verse 1, the freedom in Christ, in contrast with slavery under the law and slavery under the flesh. verse 4. Grace in contrast with the law. Verse 6. Grace through faith in contrast with any performance system. Any performance system. Verse 13. Freedom to serve one another in spiritual love in contrast with using your freedom for the flesh. Verse 16. Walk by the Spirit in contrast with the desires of the flesh. Verse 17. Contrast the Holy Spirit and the flesh. Verse 18, led by the Holy Spirit in contrast with the law. Now verses 19 through 21, the deeds of the flesh in contrast with the fruit of the Holy Spirit in 22 and 23. Now, we saw in chapter 4, 29, the inner struggle. Let's just look back for a quick moment at chapter 4, verse 29. But at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now. And then in chapter 5, verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. There's an inner conflict going on. So sometimes you have this inner conflict going on inside. It's not because you had some bad tacos. It's because of this spiritual warfare going on inside of the believer. 19 through 21, what comes from us when we walk by the flesh? The deeds of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. We're not walking in the kingdom of God, and there's no inheritance in it. Let's just quickly read these so we'll have an understanding and then move on, at least a brief knowledge of them. 19 through 21, now the deeds of the flesh are, and if you look down at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is. So these are in contrast. Verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. These are evident because they come out of our life. Come out of our being. Immorality. Impurity. Sensuality. Idolatry. Sorcery. Enmities. Strife. Jealousy. Outburst of anger. Disputes. Dissensions. Factions. Envying. Drunkenness, carousing, and then Paul says, oh, I missed you personally? Then I'll throw in this last line, and things like these. So, whatever your deal is, and people, please understand that everyone has a trend of sin. Sometimes people get real, well, he's got a trend of this type of sin. Everyone has a trend of sin. Yours may be self-righteousness. Yours may be arrogance. Yours may be a holier-than-thou attitude, but everyone has a trend in their sin pattern, in their flesh nature. So I like what Paul does here, and things like these, just in case I missed you, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. Talking about the practice and who it would have to deal with. Entering the kingdom and inheriting the kingdom. All of that is technical. But the main thing is, these are the deeds of the flesh. Verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Walking by the by faith in the Holy Spirit, these are the things that the Holy Spirit will pour into you, fill you with. In contrast with the deeds of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. Here is what comes from you if you walk by the Holy Spirit. Now, sins that come from the flesh versus fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. And one, each reveals the desires of and enjoyment of either the flesh or the Holy Spirit. So if you want to look at the deeds of the flesh, that's the desires and enjoyment of the flesh. And look at the fruit of the Spirit. These are the desires and enjoyment of the Holy Spirit. the desires of the flesh versus the desires of the Holy Spirit. And this battle goes on inside of us all the time. Enjoyment of the flesh versus enjoyment of the Holy Spirit. Now, secondly, what is going on inside you, believer, demonstrates what comes out. Determines what comes out. And remember, Christ said that it's what comes out of a man that defiles him, not what goes in. That's why you don't make a legalistic thing out of, well, you shouldn't eat this, or you shouldn't drink that, or you shouldn't do this. It's not what enters a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. And point two here, what's going on inside of you is what's going to come out. If you're in the flesh, the deeds of the flesh will come out. If you're in the power of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will come out. The Holy Spirit is inside the believer, and the flesh is inside the believer. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, people, is not difficult. It's impossible without the Holy Spirit. Just please understand that these nine things that we're getting ready to look at, these are not difficult. Before God, they are impossible without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is not difficult. It's impossible in the flesh. Spiritual love is not difficult. Spiritual love is impossible outside of the Holy Spirit. And until you realize that, you're not going to feel your dependency on the Holy Spirit to walk by Him. If you think you can work on some of these, you can work on self-discipline, and you can discipline yourself, and God will approve of it. You'll never see your dependency and need of the Holy Spirit. If you think you can work on any of these, gentleness, and I know what gentleness is, I'll just work on it, and I can make myself gentle. You'll never make it, not before God. You might make it before man. You might be satisfied before man, but not before God. So please understand, these are not just difficult. These are impossible. In the flesh. Impossible. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Okay. We're going to start off with a very important point that I want you to understand. Fruit. Singular. Singular. List nine. But it's singular. Why? Why is it in the singular? Not fruits of the Holy Spirit, but fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are people that make a big deal, make a big point out of the singular here, but don't come close to even understanding why. Why is this in the singular? Why is it in the singular? Okay, look back at chapter 4, verse 19. Chapter 4, verse 19. Chapter 4:19, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Ever heard that phrase? Christ formed in you? Ever wondered what it meant? How it happens? How is Christ formed in you? Along with the continual study of the Word of God by qualified truthful teacher of the Word. And please remember, this happens slowly. Christ being formed in you is a very slow process. So, Christ formed in you, chapter 4, verse 19, that is going to be taken care of in the fruit of the Spirit, the divine nine listed in Galatians 5. Singular fruit. And the reason it's singular is this is the component of all of them, is Christ formed in you. They will not all be demonstrated in your life at one time. Sometimes it may be gentleness that will be needed. Sometimes it may be self-control. Sometimes patience. Sometimes love. These types of things. But the composite of all of them makes up Christ formed in you. So, this happens very slowly by the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the fruit of the Spirit. And as Paul says in 4:19, you get under a pastor who studies and teaches truthfully the Word of God, and this starts happening inside of you. Little by little, this fruit becomes rich, sweet fruit inside of us. Fruit of the Holy Spirit slowly becomes Christ formed in us. Many Christians, pastor teachers, talk about and even teach the fruit of the Spirit. But how? How do you get the fruit of the Spirit? Okay. Not by obedience of the law. Now, let me see. I think I didn't realize I had this on here. So, putting on the armor of God. How? Not by obedience of the law. It's not by something that you and I do. Putting on Christ. How? It's a nice phrase. A lot of people use it. Putting on Christ. Putting on the armor of God. But how? How do you put on the armor of God? How do you put on Christ? Is it something you and I do? Putting on Christ is not by obedience to the law. Christ formed in you. But how? How is Christ formed in you? Not by obedience to the law. That's what Paul is making clear in Galatians chapter 5. It's not by the flesh. People, the flesh doesn't even want to put on the armor of God, does not desire to put on Christ, and certainly doesn't desire Christ to be formed in you. This is not something you can do in the flesh. Not by obedience, not by some moral living or going to church and all of this type of things that people like to do. Please do not turn the fruit of the Spirit into law, into something do and do, do and do. Do not turn the fruit of the Holy Spirit into a list that you're going to work on and do and do and do and do and do. You're not going to. It's impossible. They are fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is not a list for you to work on. Well, this week I'm going to work on gentleness. And boy, I'm going to just concentrate on it. I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to be gentle with my husband, with my wife, with my dog, with my neighbor, with my boss, with this person, with that person. I'm going to be gentle and I'm going to work on it. And I'm just going to be very gentle. I'm going to be gentle in putting things down on the table. I'm going to be gentle. People, I'm going to show you, you don't even know what it means in the flesh. You don't even know what it means. This is not something you can work on. The more you work, you'll become weary. The Isaiah 28 passage. You'll become weary, discouraged. It's impossible in the flesh. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It is graciously and freely given to everyone who just walks by faith in the Holy Spirit. Just like you were given the righteousness of Christ. You can't earn the righteousness of Christ. You can't produce the righteousness of Christ. That's why we started off this study with the 10 questions of Job. You've got to see, I'm totally incapable of doing these things. How can I have the righteousness of Christ? And as we know, it's by faith. So, most of these you cannot even understand in the flesh. And certainly not understand how. These change. They vary in circumstances. This is one of the great evils that pastors do. Turn this into some kind of a list and a rigid procedure. Get everyone to work on it. That's an evil. Make a list. Work on it. Do this. Do that. This week we're going to work on goodness. Then next week we'll work on self-control. You cannot do this with the fruit of the Spirit, people. I'm sorry. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a production of the Holy Spirit. You will not produce this fruit in the flesh. They are fruit of the Holy Spirit. They do not happen automatically. He pours this fruit into you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen? By walking, by faith in the Spirit. Take love. Gentleness. How do you know what these are? How do you know what these are? Books are written on trying to define love. How it's manifested. Gentleness. How do you know what they look like in any given situation? We don't. We don't know what they look like in any given situation. They are fruit of the Holy Spirit. He guides, He pours, He fills them into our heart. It's His work. Our job is simply obedience obedience that is faith, walking by faith in the Spirit, so that He can minister to us, guide us, pour them in, and guide in the using of these things. Remember in our study of spiritual love, 1 Corinthians 13, where we spent a little time on this, we are not long-suffering. Remember that? We are not long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. We are not kind. Love is kind. We do not boast. Spiritual love does not boast. Stay with the subject. The subject there is love. Well, this is the fruit of the Spirit, not our fruit. Our fruits are described in verses 19 through 21 under the desires of the flesh. These are divine fruit of the Holy Spirit. We do not even know what these look like in any given circumstance. Spiritual love looks like this in this circumstance, and looks like something entirely different in another circumstance. You walk through, let's draw a circle, you enter that circle, and let's say that there is a manifestation of spiritual love out from you, you get on the other side of that event, that circumstance, now I know what love looks like. Now I know what gentleness looks like. I'm going to imitate that from here on out. Never work. It'll be totally different the next time. It'll be totally different the next time. And maybe even with the same person. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe a friend, at work, whatever. It'll be different. Do you know how to do that? I don't. No one does. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He knows what that person needs. See? He knows. He directs us. He pours us. He guides us. See? Kindness compels me to do this in one situation. But in another situation, kindness may be entirely different. This is where divine guidance. Since we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit and not of the flesh. I do not know how any of these are going to look the next time. I do not know, and neither do you. Spiritual love, kindness, gentleness, goodness, they look different each time. And you know why? Because the fruit of the Spirit are dynamic. Dynamic. They meet the situation. They change right there in midstream. They don't follow any kind of a pattern. The circumstances change. It may be the same person, but now their need is different. Their circumstance and their soul, their need is different. Different than it was even this morning. And the gentleness will be different in the afternoon than it was this morning. We live in a time where writing all these books, dealing with adolescents, dealing with teenagers, dealing with menopause, and dealing with this, and dealing with postmenopause, and dealing with middle age, and all this kind of stuff. People, you don't need to read any of that stuff. That's all human viewpoint. That's all from the flesh. Walk in the power of the Spirit. Walk in the power of the Spirit. He knows what that teenager needs. He knows what that wife needs, that husband needs, that friend needs, that girlfriend, that boyfriend. He knows what they need. I don't know. And you know what? I don't have to read all these books. And I don't have to be an expert on all of this stuff. I don't have to. All I have to do is walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And He will guide me. He will lead me. Come on in. He will lead me. He will lead me in doing these things. So the fruit of the Spirit are dynamic. They change. They look differently than they did before. Now they would have the same effect on those to who receive them. They will see the love of Christ. They will see Christ formed in you. But each time it will be different from you. Now Scripture makes it clear, the truth of the gospel. Faith in the one sent. God the Son for eternal life. God the Holy Spirit for spiritual life. For the fruit of the Spirit. And again, in contrast to the deeds of the flesh, we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you do not like what comes from your flesh, you don't like, so you go through that list and you're, ooh, that's me. Oh man, troublemaking, that's me. Drunkenness, that's me. Anger, that's me. Disputes, that's me. Causing trouble, that's me. Carousing, that's me. All this type of thing. Man, it just, that's me. I don't like that. I don't like what comes out of me. Don't like it. Well, you don't work on it in the flesh, people. That's human psychology, human viewpoint, and it isn't going to work. You do not work on trying to discipline the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to be disciplined. That's man's answer. God's solution is to grow in the knowledge of Christ and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit, does not come from the flesh. God will not accept anything from the flesh. Where did we first see this? Cain. Cain offered God his very best. God said, I don't want your best. And that has been played all the way through Scripture. I don't want your best. I want what I give. I don't want your love. I want the love I give. I don't want your kindness. I want the kindness I give. I don't want your goodness. I want the goodness that I give. This is what God wants. So how do we receive anything from God? By faith. We've well established that in this series. Faith is passive. Faith can only receive from God. Faith is not active. Faith is passive. Faith is a pattern from our eternal life salvation to spirituality to receiving the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, let's get kicking here. The fruit of the Spirit is love. This is not love that comes from the flesh. This is not virtue love, tough love, tender love, integrity love. All of this is love that comes from the flesh. This is not, I love you if you perform to my satisfaction. This is spiritual love. This comes from the Holy Spirit. It's conditioned on faith in the Holy Spirit, not in the other person. Unconditional. As far as man is concerned. The only condition about this love is that when it comes from you, it only comes by faith in the Spirit, and the Spirit pours it in. Virtue, integrity love, virtue love means that these loves come from who and what I am. Spiritual love comes from who and what God is. I don't want you to see my love. My love is manipulative. My love is for my satisfaction. I don't want you to see it. It's ugly. And until you're ready to say that and understand that, it's self-satisfying. Oh, you may just be a doormat. You may just bend down and do everything, but it's for you. You like to think this is what you are. You're just so humble and so wonderful. This love doesn't come from the flesh. This love comes from who and what God is, and God is love. Divine love poured into you. His love poured into you. This is what the Holy Spirit fills you with. And then this love flows out from you. This love is from the Spirit of the living God. We've already seen in Galatians 5, 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, we've studied this love. We don't have to spend much more time on it. We studied this under our brief study in this basic series on spiritual love, where we noted the 16 impacts or the effects of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. We noted how spiritual love is the immune system to our body, to our spiritual life. Just as we have an immune system in our body, spiritual love is the immune system to our spiritual life. This is the love that Jesus Christ loved us with. This is His love given to Him by the Holy Spirit. This is the love He commands in the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. See, some of the things that Jesus Christ did in His humanity, He did from His deity. Some of the things that Jesus Christ did in His humanity, He did from the power of the Holy Spirit. Those that are done by the power of the Holy Spirit, things that we can, in most cases, we can incorporate. He loved from the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why He said, love as I loved. If He loved from His deity, we can't do it. I'm out of luck. I'm not God. I'm not deity. I can't love as He loved. But since He loved in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can all love as He loved. So, love one another as I have loved you. Spiritual love is how we respond to those whose deeds in the flesh are against us. People, Scripture is very clear, isn't it? On how we're not supposed to deal with one another. I'm not supposed to steal. I'm not supposed to steal from anyone. Not to sin against anyone. I'm not to judge anyone, malign anyone. All these things that we're not supposed to do. But what does Scripture say? to do when someone sins against you. When another believer does some of these things, not all of them, but some of them, against you. What does the Bible say? Scripture is not silent. If you live by the law, you're under the dilemma of the law. Judge, separate, bite, devour. But if you're under the fruit of the Spirit, spiritual love will seek to restore them. Spiritual love will seek to edify them. See? We studied this under John 13, 34 and 35. By this the world will know that you're mine, if you love one another as I have loved you. Okay. How did Jesus Christ love us? All right, first of all, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how He loved us. The Holy Spirit poured this love through Jesus Christ, and now we can love as He loved. Secondly, He loved sacrificial to self for the benefit of others, namely His enemies. Those who let us down, those who hurt us. So the Bible's very clear. What are we to do when someone sins against us? We're very clear on what we're not to do. Don't do this, don't do that, da 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 da. We know that. But what are we to do when they do it to us? What are we supposed to do? Treat them in spiritual love. Sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. See? So, most relations built on a performance basis. I'm sorry, but many marriages are built on performance basis. But the Spirit-filled life relationship is built on spiritual love. Spiritual love produces changes inside of you. Hopefully, it affects those around you. All right, let's take a look. Very important passage. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments, and in the study, in context, it's faith and love, spiritual love, and keeps them, he it is who loves me in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now watch. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. People, if there's no other reason, no other motivation, desiring spiritual love from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Here you have three of them right here. One, paternal, affectionate love from God the Father. Keep the deep intimate love from Jesus Christ, and He will disclose Himself to you. People, you don't disclose yourself to someone who doesn't love you. You don't do that. Prostitutes. Prostitutes don't kiss. They don't do that. They serve. And that's it. They're not going to disclose anything. They'll disclose their body. But that's it. They're not going to disclose anymore. It's a financial deal. And in many marriages, people will not disclose who and what they are. They're afraid that if the other person really knows about me, they won't love me anymore. If they know this about me, they won't love me anymore. You love Jesus Christ? And the only way you can do it is in the power of the Spirit, is the fruit of the Spirit. He will disclose Himself to you. You want Jesus Christ to disclose Himself to you? It's not a matter of living a moral life. It's not a matter of going to church every Sunday. It's not a matter of studying and studying and studying. It's a matter of loving Him by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then He will love you. And His Father will love you. And He will disclose Himself to you. So if you desire the God the Father's personal, paternal love, you have to love His Son. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit, let's go on now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then it says, and then joy, happiness. But people, this is not just any happiness. This is a happiness that, this is not a happiness that depends on the circumstances. This is not a happiness that man can produce. This is a joy of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Now, those of you that are doing this on the internet, if you have the video or the PowerPoint ability, I put it on the board for you. If not, just open your wonderful Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. With the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a great deal going on in this passage. What did we first of all see about the singular of the fruit? Christ formed in you. This is the joy that Christ experienced. Christ formed in you. This is by the Holy Spirit. This is the happiness that belongs to God and to Jesus Christ. And this belongs to them. And then they share it with you. I have the Gospel of John 15 and verse 11. These things I have spoken to you for your advantage, that my joy, Jesus Christ's joy, may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, sacrificial for the benefit of others. But what I want you to see here is, this joy is His joy. Christ formed in you. How does Christ be formed in me? By my dressing a certain way? My speaking a certain holy language? My walking with my head up or my head bowed just an inch or two above the ground? My being a little bit holy? What does it mean for Christ formed in you? This is something you can't do. This is something only the Holy Spirit can do. He does it when we walk by faith. This is His joy. This is His joy. Remember that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is you being transformed into the image of Christ. Christ formed in you. And part of that formation, people, is this inner joy. It's that love. That's Christ's love. It's also this joy. We have this joy, this inner happiness, even if others sin against us. Instead of hate or depression or anger or revenge or control, inner happiness that leads to kindness. Let's move on. Then there is the third component of this fruit, peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You know when you are suffering, when your soul cries out for nothing more than peace, that you're in the conflict. I'm in it. All I need tonight is just peace in my soul. That's all I need. I'm not worried about happiness. I'm not concerned about these things. God, just give me peace tonight. It's when you know you're in the conflict. Paul or David cried this out a lot. Just that inner peace. Well, people, it's not based on the circumstances. It's based on the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace of soul, even when things around you are going from bad to worse. When others sin against us. When others fail and let us down. This peace is there. Now, where does this peace come from if it doesn't come from the circumstances of life? It comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now I'd like you to turn, I didn't put it on the board on purpose, I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Verse 11, and let him, now him is in verse 10, those who seek a good life in the Lord, let him turn away from evil. All right, this was in Galatians 5, walking in the flesh, thinking in the flesh, pursuing the desires of the flesh. You turn away from that. How do you turn away from that? Turn to the Holy Spirit and do good, walking by faith, growing in the knowledge of Christ. Let him seek, desire, peace, and pursue it. How do you pursue peace? How do you pursue peace? Becoming a passive doormat? Not caring about anything in the world? I got a cartoon on the email This person said, I don't know if I'm really growing in the Christian life or if I just reached a point where I don't care about anything anymore. So sometimes that happens. But that's not the peace that we're talking about here. See, this is a peace of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14, verse 19, I did put it on for you. So let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And if peace in your soul, then you can have peace with other people. First, you have to have this inside your own soul. You have to think of others. And remember, fundamental to spiritual love is observation. You have to observe the other person. This is fundamental to spiritual love. It observes what's going on in the other person and what that person needs. Seeing a need and then meeting that need. Not confrontation. Peace. Spiritual love creates an environment where there's peace. And where there's peace, the other person can grow spiritually. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. This can be accomplished only in the power of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit gives the desire. Oh, it can be fake. There make no doubt about it. Boy, you can work on all of these and think you got it, but before God, you're not even close. You're not even close. Only the Holy Spirit gives this desire. The flesh does not desire the peace of Christ. Does not desire it. Does not. Now, one more thing that I do want you to realize about peace before we move on. There are two sendings by God the Father that we have noted throughout this study. This basic study, which I'm sorry to say is about over. Now, there are two sendings by the Father, and there are two peace, in quotes, or two peace related with these two sendings. All right, one, peace with God, and the second is the peace of God. Now, peace with God, this is by the first sending, that is of His Son, Jesus Christ, brings the believer peace with God. Then there is the peace of God for the believer that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we have peace with God. That's established by Jesus Christ. He broke down the barrier between God and man. But as a believer, you want to experience that peace you have with God. It comes as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So first is an ultimate peace with God. First is an ultimate peace with God. A permanent peace with God. Established by Jesus Christ's work on the cross. Then there is the peace of God. That's the peace that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. You don't earn this peace. And it's not based on circumstances. It's based on faith. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. There is another peace. That's peace that we have with God. There's a peace very important experientially. It's the peace of God. A peace we can enjoy in our souls regardless of what's going on in our lives. Holy Spirit gives love of Jesus Christ. Joy, the Holy Spirit gives the joy of Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. This is the peace of Jesus Christ given to us by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Christ formed in you. Let's take a look. Colossians chapter 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. And be thankful. You know, I really don't have anything to be thankful for today. Oh, yes, you do. Got your eternal life salvation. God the Father sent His Son to die on a cross. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the confidence of after death. You have all these wonderful things. But this is what I want you to see here in Colossians 3:15. This is the peace of Christ. Christ formed in you by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This peace is the same peace Jesus Christ had while He was on earth. It was given to Him by the Holy Spirit. and we can now experience the same peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the peace of God. He wants us to have peace. See, if God wants us to have inner happiness, He wants us to have peace. There are many passages in the epistle to the church that deal with the peace that comes by the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, the peace of Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, legalism. Oh, you can't eat this and you can't drink that. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace with God by Jesus Christ, peace of God by the Holy Spirit. Christ formed in you. When you're experiencing this love, this joy, this peace, Christ formed in you. Let's go to the next one. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, patience. Patience. Be patient. We'll get through with this series. Patience. You recall there are two Greek words translated patient from our study in spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. Both are used in describing the effects or the impacts of spiritual love. It starts off, spiritual love is patient. Actually, the word is makrothumia, long-suffering. It's the first word. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Then in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, spiritual love endures all things. Hupomone. Now, sometimes hupomone is translated patience. What's the difference between makrothumia and hupomone? You don't even have to know Greek. You just know those sound different. Whatever those are, they're different. Makrothumia, that's a long word. Hupomone, that's a simple word. So they got to be different. Well, the first is the translated long-suffering. If we want to stay with the concept of patience, this is patience or long-suffering in dealing with people, dealing with believers, dealing with unbelievers, dealing with your husband, your wife, your family, your friends, people, church, work. Hupomone, this is patience in dealing with circumstances and things in life. You're patient with things that happen in life. Now in our study in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. That's makrothumia, long-suffering. Long-suffering. It's the long-suffering of Christ. It's the long-suffering of Christ. Okay, let's take a look. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. And yet for this reason, I found mercy, in order that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience. You can have that same patience, people. That's right. You can have the same patience, the same makrothumia that Jesus Christ has. You can have the same love He had, same joy He had, same peace He had. Why? He received it from the Holy Spirit. And because He received it from the Holy Spirit, we can rue it. See? If He did this from His deity, we're out of luck. I will never be able to love as He loved. I cannot enjoy the long-suffering that He enjoyed. Those ideals are just, they're pie in the sky. I'm not going to get them. But wait a minute. He got it by the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. I can now do that. I can now allow the Holy Spirit to pour that same long-suffering through me. So 1 Timothy chapter 1:16, and yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. Christ formed in you. Note why, in this one passage, note why this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It leads to salvation. It leads to salvation. You know, some people have the patience of Jonah. Kill them all, Lord. Kill them all. I'm God. I don't like them. Get rid of every one of them. His macrothumia was not very macrothumia. Not very long. Very short. And he just said, let them have it. I hate them. Get rid of them. Send them all to hell. It's over. See? But when you just work, be patient, long-suffering with people, unbelievers, and believers dealing with the spiritual life and growing in the Word of God, is patient, long-suffering. Throughout his life, Jesus Christ demonstrated long-suffering of spiritual love, long-suffering of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Here's a good place to see this patience, long-suffering of the Holy Spirit's about. It's about remaining tranquil. Listen now. Remaining tranquil while the fruit of the patience comes about. While its fruit comes about. Just tranquil. I don't have to see results right now. Don't have to. That's long-suffering. I may never see it. But it's long-suffering. So that these things, I'm going to remain tranquil. See, when you're not patient, you're not long-suffering, that means you're short-suffering, temper sets in, get even, leave, it's over, goodbye, all of these types of things, see? Are you long-suffering? I'm always going to be here with the gospel for you. I'm always going to be here with spiritual love. I'm always going to be here in the plan of God. So, patience, long-suffering, is Christ formed in you by the Holy Spirit. What happens when two believers, when one sins against the other? When in the flesh, chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 happens. When walking by the Holy Spirit, long-suffering. They offend you, they have hurt you, they upset you, they let you down, they sin against you. All these things. Instead of reacting, you're now or macrothumia. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, and I urge you, and we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. So there's an admonishing that's done, but it's always for spiritual recovery. Admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient, macrothumia. With all men, unbelievers and believers, husband, wife, children, family, friends, work, church of all places. Sounds nice, but how are you going to do all that? Look at James chapter 5, verse 8. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Well, you tell me how to strengthen my arms, I know how. Tell me how to strengthen my legs, I know how. Legs have three primary muscles and a whole bunch of others. The quads, the hamstrings, and all the, because I got to work on all these different areas, each one different exercises. Got to deal with each one differently. Work on my biceps and triceps. One's on the back of the arm, one's on the front of the arm, forearms, back, all the various muscle groups in the back. I know how to do that, but look what it says. Strengthen your heart. Strengthen your heart. It's not talking about this ticker. It's talking about your spiritual being. How do you strengthen it? You grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you walk in the Spirit by faith. So that sounds nice, but how? Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 2, with all humility. Oh, we don't like that one, do we? That comes by the Holy Spirit. See, when you walk by faith, that's humble. The arrogant don't walk by faith. The arrogant do it themselves. Humble. When you're humble, you walk by faith. Humility and gentleness, fruit of the Holy Spirit. With patience, macrothumia. Showing forbearance to one another in love. Not just, all right, I'll put up with you. See, that's not in love. Not in love. I like to use the illustration. Now I have to be careful with some illustrations I used to use quite readily. But now I have to be careful. But the wife comes in and throws the eggs down and goes, there's your eggs. Hey, I got them. They're burnt. All that greasy floating off the plate. See? No, that's not in the spirit of love. It's not in the spirit of love. It's got to be in the spirit of love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. How? Not in the flesh. Not in the flesh. But in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how. Okay, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and next, kindness. If someone does you wrong, chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, any or all or any combination of the deeds of the flesh against you, what do they get in return? If you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, they get kindness. The first four, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, inside Jesus Christ, now inside you. Now the fruit of the Holy Spirit is kindness. Okay? Christ formed in you. Let's take a look at Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Titus 3, 4. But when kindness of God and our Savior, Christ formed in you, He's kind. When the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, the same kindness that brought God down to being man, the incarnation, be inside of you, people. It's potentially there in the presence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We can sit here and give a very glowing, wonderful message on the kindness of Jesus Christ coming down from being God, dying on a cross for our sins, and to make a wonderful Resurrection Sunday special. But I tell you what I'd have to do. I'd have to end it with, you can have that same kindness flowing through you when you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. The same kindness was in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, now flow inside of you. Same kindness of God, because this is from God, God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Do you think lightly the riches of His kindness? We looked at this under the kindness of spiritual love, but just to remind you. Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness? And that means to have contempt. Remember we looked at this in the Greek? It means to have contempt. People have contempt for kindness. Oh, we don't mind showing kindness to a little hurt dog or a little cat, little bird. But we really have contempt for kindness. So in the nature of man, it's in the nature of our flesh. Do you have contempt for the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? This kindness of God is given to us by God the Holy Spirit. And people, very important as we close out this morning's study, very important in dealing with the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we've looked at so far. Where's this manifested? I told you that I'm ending with the most important area of your life. This is part of your life in your home, to one another, to those that it's the most difficult. People, it's easy to be kind to a stranger. It's easy to be kind to an unbeliever. I don't expect anything from the unbeliever. But boy, you let somebody go to church and supposed to be learning all that, and then they sin against you. I don't know how they could do that. They're really not saved. Yeah, they're saved. They're saved. It's a challenge to you to treat them in spiritual love. Your husband, your wife, children, family, church, work. Oh yes, to the world. But remember, Jesus Christ said, love one another as I've loved you, and one another as another the same kind, another believer. People, it's easy to love an unbeliever. Don't expect anything from an unbeliever. But to have the same love, the same kindness that we're looking at here for a believer who's done you wrong, who has not treated you and not lived, they've not been in the Holy Spirit, why should I? See? Because you're in the power of the Holy Spirit and you're going to bring them back to Jesus Christ. So with this kindness, this outer manifestation of the glory of Christ coming out of you in your marriage, in your home life, in your dating life, if you're single, in your single life with another man or woman, boy or girl, whatever it may be, with friends in life, if you understand the kindness that God desires is freely or graciously given by God the Father through the one He has sent, the Holy Spirit, you can have it flowing through you. You can have it flowing through you. Okay, we'll resume here. Maybe next time will be our last study together in this series. And I'd like to continue on. But to me, this is the most important part. This is what it's all about when we started with the 10 questions of Job, where we've been leading to living your daily life. Free of stress, anxiety, depression, fear, worry, getting upset, having Christ formed in you. Heavenly Father, again, what we've learned about this morning is you. We've learned of your benevolence. We've learned what you desire to come out of us, how you desire us to be, and you know that we cannot be that, and so you sent us your Spirit that we can. We've learned about Jesus Christ, for each one of these are in Jesus Christ. As we grow in the Word, Father, we do develop a desire. Well, I really do want Christ to be formed in me. I do want to put on the armor of God. I do want to be like Christ. But I can't do it. I don't even know what that means. So you send us your Spirit. And He pours in Christ. He pours in all the elements that make up Christ in us. We praise you, Father. This is what we desire, that others see Christ in us. That our husband, our wife sees Christ in us. That our children and our family, that our parents see Christ in us. That our friends and people in the church and people we associate with, they see Christ in us. That's our desire. But Father, we don't know how to do that. But your Spirit does. And so we just rest to put our faith in Him and allow Him to pour this fruit through us. Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen, have them become a reality in our lives, that Christ might be formed in us. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.